Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8, you'll recall that in the previous chapter, God had promised that David would have victory, and that rather than his taking care of God, building a house for him, that God was going to build a house for David, referring to his descendants and the kingdom of God that would come through Jesus Christ. In chapter 8, we have a picture of David as he continued to spread control over the region. And suffice it to say, it is not a delicate picture. 2 Samuel chapter 8, this is God's word. After this, David defeated the Philistines, subdued them, and took Metheg-Ammah from Philistine control. He also defeated the Moabites, and after making them lie down on the ground, he measured them off with a cord. He measured every two cord lengths of those to be put to death, and one full length of those to be kept alive. So the Moabites became David's subjects and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah, when he went to restore his control at the Euphrates River. David captured 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers from him, and he hamstrung all the horses and kept 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to assist King Hadadezer of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 Aramean men. Then he placed garrisons in Aram of Damascus, and the Arameans became David's subjects and brought tribute. The Lord made David victorious wherever he went. David took the gold shields of Hadadezer's officers and brought them to Jerusalem. King David also took huge quantities of bronze from Battah and Berothai, Hadadezer's cities. When King Toi of Hamath heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and to congratulate him because David had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. For Toi and Hadadezer had fought many wars. Joram had items of silver, gold, and bronze with him. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had dedicated from all the nations he had subdued, from Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Amalekites, and the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. David made a reputation for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in Salt Valley. He placed garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites were subject to David. The Lord made David victorious wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, administering justice and righteousness for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was court historian. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abathar, were priests. Seraiah was court secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief officials. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This property where Ware's Valley Ranch is was given to us. It was given to us by a 501c3 not-for-profit board that had owned the property for 12 years prior to giving it to us. For 12 years, they tried diligently to launch a Christian conference center here on this property without success. Now, the people who were on that board included some business people, a university professor, the treasurer of a denomination, the vice president of an evangelistic association, a bunch of really sharp, talented, committed Christian people. And they tried, and they tried, and they tried without success. And eventually, it occurred to them, and this is the way they expressed it, God isn't just not blessing us, God is thwarting our efforts. We try to do something, God throws up a roadblock. We turn another way, God throws up a roadblock. We try this, God throws up a roadblock. We're being blocked, and initially we thought maybe it was kind of the enemy who was keeping us from developing the property, but it seems clear to us now that God is the one who's been blocking our path. And so they decided to get together and fast and pray as a board and seek God and say, Lord, instead of us trying to get you to do what we want to do what you want. Show us what you want. And all of them came to the same conclusion, that God was impressing on them that the property was supposed to be given to another ministry. And so they did something that was very brave. They obeyed God. And we ended up being the ministry to which they gave the land. And when they gave us the land, my wife and I had been praying for over 20 years that God would give us a piece of property where we could have a children's home. And lo and behold, when they gave us the property, we said, you can't imagine how happy this makes us. And they said, oh, you can't imagine how happy we are to finally know what God wanted and be able to do it. David had victory wherever he went. Why? Because the Lord gave him victory wherever he went. Look at verse 6. The last sentence in verse 6. The Lord made David victorious wherever he went. Look at the last sentence in verse 14. The Lord made David victorious wherever he went. What is the key statement from this chapter? What is the main point? David's victory was not a result of his being an excellent marksman with a slingshot. David's victory was not a result of his working out at least 3 hours a day in order to have a really buff physique. David's victory was not a result of his having stayed up all night memorizing things for school. David's victory was a result of the Lord. God chose to give David victory. And folks, let me just tell you something. Every victory that I've had in my life is a direct result of God's grace, not because I'm just such a genius. I have worked hard. I've done all kinds of jobs. I have been the guy who pumps gas, the guy who works the cash register, the guy who weeds people's gardens, the custodian, the guy who cleaned houses, the guy who babysat people's kids. I've done all kinds of jobs in my life, but what God impressed on me early on, while I was working as the janitor, the custodian, was that I couldn't clean the floor apart from the grace of God. You see, I thought, when I do this, God's hand is on me and I need to give him all the praise. When I do this, well, that's me. Wrong. When I do this, that's God. When I do this and clean the floor, that's God. You and I can't draw our next breath apart from God. And we are much more likely to experience amazing victories in our life if we stop thinking that we can handle some of this by ourselves and we'll call on God when we need him. If you think you only need God occasionally for the really hard things, you just don't understand what's going on. Every atheist on the planet is entirely dependent on God, though they refuse to recognize that he exists. All the people who were involved in all manner of things they should not be doing could not do even that apart from God. And what David experienced in this chapter is the expansion and solidification of his political control and his military control, and he did it at times in a way that seems grotesque and ruthless to us. For example, having a bunch of people lie down on the ground and measuring off with a rope, and if you fall in this group, you're dead. If you fall in this group, you're dead. If you fall in this group, you get to live. Well, that seems unfair. These were conquered enemies. And while we think that's awful, he killed 2/3 of those soldiers. The fact is, David let 1/3 of them live. You understand? It would not have been shocking in this culture if David had just said, kill them all. But he didn't. He said, we're going to let 1/3 of them live. Likewise, he hamstrung the horses of the enemy army. That's cruel. PETA would be screaming. ASPCA would be screaming. That's awful. But he didn't kill all the horses. Say, yeah, but he crippled them. His goal was simply to make it so they would no longer be a threat militarily. You understand? So I still think that's mean. What'd they have to do, just drag themselves around? No, they kind of limped around. They were just no longer good for war. And David's goal was to make it so that people would not have to die anymore because this guy had an army with horses and chariots. And this guy, by the way, was a bad guy who had been out there conquering and threatening his neighbors for a long time. David went in and denuclearized the enemy. Okay? He didn't kill them all. He just said, we're going to make it so that they can't mount an attack anymore. And he brought some of the chariots back. Maybe the souvenirs. I'll tell you this. When I read this passage, I don't think, I want to go out and do all the things David did. I think it is amazing that wherever he went, God gave him victory. Now, I would like that. Wouldn't you like that? Think about a young man named Joseph down in Egypt. He's been taken as a slave to a foreign country, but as he works in Potiphar's house, it is very evident to everybody that God's hand is on him, because everything he does, God blesses him. God blesses the whole house because of Joseph. And then when Joseph is falsely accused of a horrible crime, there have always been people who make false accusations. When Joseph is falsely accused of a horrible crime, lo and behold, he's put in prison. Oh, so God has taken his hand off him. No, that was part of the plan. God was going to use it for good. Joseph was going to be in the right place at the right time to become the prime minister of Egypt. He had no way of knowing it, but in the midst of what was happening, we read God was with him. And God blessed him, even in the prison where he was unjustly imprisoned for years.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss the opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, you can be sure that Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. That's wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
You and I sometimes think that in order for us to have victory, we've got to be in the right circumstances. God can give us victory wherever we are. David had victory wherever he went. Even during the years that he was on the run from King Saul, when his life was in danger and there was an army trying to kill him, David had victory in the midst of it. And I want you to know that wherever you go, you can have victory from the Lord if you will walk in obedience to him. It doesn't mean your way will always be easy. It doesn't mean that you will always get to go where you want. It does mean that if you will walk in obedience to God, that is victory. If you're doing what God says, that is victory. So, David reigned over all Israel, administering justice and righteousness for all his people. That is victory. It does not say, so David reigned over all Israel, feathering his nest, making himself comfortable, and doing as he pleased. It's not what it says. It says he administered justice and righteousness for all his people. When he got these trophies of war, and he brought them back to the city, what did he do? Well, he put them in his palace, of course. No, he dedicated all of that to the Lord. Everything that was gained in these various military triumphs, all of it, David dedicated to the Lord. Why? Because he knew it was the Lord who'd given him victory. Do you remember again when he met with Saul before he fought Goliath? He said, it is the Lord who gave me victory over the bear and over the lion, and he's going to give victory against this uncircumcised Philistine. Victory comes from the Lord, and therefore glory belongs to the Lord. When you are successful, when things go well, when you do what you're supposed to do, give God all the glory. Give God all the glory. Point people to Him. He's the one who gives victory. He's the one who answers prayer. He's the one who enables you to walk in obedience. And then we have a list of individuals who were all a part of this victory. All of them participated with David. And that's important for us to know, because even though David was the one who was anointed by God, chosen by God, used by God in this mighty way, he didn't do it alone. And you and I need to realize whatever victory God gives us, whatever success we have, we're not in it alone, and God isn't just using us and blessing us. Joab, who was a very flawed individual, Joab was over the army. Jehoshaphat was the court historian. Zadok and Ahimelech were priests. Sariah was court secretary. Benaiah was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief officials. There are others wherever you go. Last night, Mrs. Wood and I were at a banquet, a fundraising banquet in Knoxville, not a fundraiser for the ranch, fundraiser for another ministry. And there were a couple of people who shared their stories. One was the new director of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. And the theme was very clear as people spoke. And that was, they didn't get into the position that they're in by themselves. The reason that they got where they are is because other people invested in them. Other people along the way took time for them, gave attention to them. And you and I need to realize, if we have victory, yes, it comes from the Lord, but God gets us there by having other people invest in us. So what should we be doing? We need to be investing in other people. One of the things that absolutely delights my heart is to see some of our older students who've been with us a while investing in some of our younger, newer students, helping them, encouraging them. Know that God sees that. He sees when you do it, and He sees when you don't do it. So do it. And when you do, God is pleased. God is pleased. Now, again, you see a guy who's a king, who's able to say, these people live, those people die. And you think, he's a fierce warrior. Yes, he is. But God willing, in our next lesson, when we look at the next chapter, we're going to see the tenderness and the compassion of this same ruler. Because David wasn't just a warrior. David was a man after God's own heart. So I hope you're continuing to read this book on your own and study it prayerfully and say, Lord, make me a man after your heart. Make me a woman who is after your heart. And God will answer that prayer.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.